You're listening to Chapter and Verse, the teaching ministry of Mule Shoe Fellowship with Steve Frisco. This message was recorded on December 21st, 2022, and is titled, The Whole Fruitcake of Christmas. Grab your Bible, turn to the book of Luke, and let's join Steve and the message.
To understand the kingship of Jesus, here's one of the other myths that we've fallen into, that Jesus can simply be your Savior and you'll go to heaven. It's not true. If Jesus isn't your Lord, he's never been your Savior. Until you bow your knee to Jesus, you can't enter in. But here's how we've told it in all our trappings of our faith. We don't enter into anything. We just ask Jesus to come into us. Here, Jesus, here's my dung heap. Bring your sleeping bag. What about entering into the kingdom of God? See, only perfect people get to enter into the kingdom of God. How many of y'all are perfect? I am. Why? Because I've been born again. I've been perfected in Christ Jesus. I'm not perfect in a righteousness of my own. I've been perfected by the blood of the Lamb. He said that was true because he marked me with the Holy Spirit. Because I've been born again, I now see the kingdom. John 3 says that lest a man be born again, he will not see nor will he enter the kingdom of God. Today, how many of us struggle with all the trappings of Christmas? And they have never entered in. They never realize what Isaiah is talking about here with a king and a kingdom, a father. You see, a father is a guardian. That's why God is providential. He creates opportunity. One of the greatest gifts of being born again is the gift of opportunity. Our Heavenly Father, who loves us, creates opportunity. He instructs, he directs, but he's not the master puppeteer. I believe for this little message tonight, God would have had the whole town come here tonight. But because men have free will and a choice, we have a nice little humble smattering of folks. This is a really good word here tonight. It's all about Christmas. And it explains the fullness of Jesus Christ and his kingdom and all the aspects that were going on at this particular time when we get over to the book of Matthew. He's the Prince of Peace. The kingdom of God is a kingdom of love, joy, and peace. That's the kingdom. And so, you know, today when you'd ask people sitting around, where's heaven? And they'll point up. What's heaven? Well, it's where you go after you die. I'm telling you, we were just laughing up here about making a little booklet of all the scripture that's not scripture. All the things that Christians say that's not in the book. And just in the hour I've been here, we could fill up a couple pages already. Well, heaven's up here. That's where you go when you die. What is heaven? What is heaven? The atmosphere of God, isn't it? The dwelling place of God. Where does God dwell? Does he not dwell in us? Are we not the temple of the Holy Spirit? Is the Holy Spirit not God? God of three persons, one God, three facets of one God? Yeah. I know why there was no room at the end. We'll talk about it real quick here in a minute. But Jesus, he said, I didn't come to be a part. I came to fill. I'm going to rise to fill the universe, to make his presence known. When Psalms 110 says that the earth is his footstool and heaven is his throne, then we have to realize the dwelling place of God here and now, the nearness and the nowness of God. To not celebrate Christmas like an old, old story. but to celebrate that the Son of God was born to be all of this today, in our life today, to be a father, to be our king. Yes, to save our soul, but that's simply that we be born again. Yeah, we'll all have a resting place. I don't know which day I told it, but I said, honest and truly, the only difference between me living and me dying is now what I know now in part, I will then know in full. I'm already in the presence of God. Like leaving this tent and being in the glory of Jesus, it'll be awesome. But it won't be like it's unexpected. It won't be like a big surprise. That won't be the first time I heard his voice. Won't be the first time I've been overwhelmed by his presence. Because the kingdom of God is here and now upon us, within us, at hand. And to understand that in the kingdom of love, peace, and joy, where you have that blessed assurance, where you have a new countenance, where all these things take place. Upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, in order to establish it with judgment and justice. The throne of David, the kingship of Jesus. See, throughout this whole Christmas story, we've got the prediction of the throne room of David. We got Joseph, who's of the lineage of David, and a betrothal that begins in the city of David. Kingship is probably the most important word we could use in Christianity today. Isaiah is doing right here what God has called us to do, and I, for one, have failed miserably. Isaiah is doing his best to expose the kingdom of God. He's predicting a time when that curtain will be rent in two, most holy place, where all mankind can now enter in to the Holy of Holies. Enter into the presence of the living God. Isaiah's predicting that. So then you get over here to the book of Matthew. I'll tell you what, let's go to Luke first. Over here in Luke, and just watch how this happens. So now in Luke 1, Gabriel is sent by God to tell Mary that she's going to give birth to a son. This is the same ancient story that was told by Isaiah. Now he comes to Mary, verse 26. Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel sent by God to the city of Galilee, named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary, and having come in, the angel said to her, "Rejoice, highly favored one, the Lord is with you, blessed are you among women." Now that had to be just a little bit of a confusing moment. Hey, you are highly favored of God. You're the little virgin girl who's now going to walk around pregnant and you're not even married. Praise the Lord. I just wonder what's going through her head. Like, are you for real? But when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and considered and what this greeting, and he goes on to talk about all this stuff. But what I want to talk about here for just a minute is she is visited by the angel Gabriel. We're going to see this throughout the story. So now you've got the Holy Spirit of God has told this story to a guy centuries before it happens. Tells it to the letter. Now you have an angel, and this one's a pretty high up angel. Gabriel, like he ain't no slouch. Gabriel is sent by God to deliver a message about how this is going to play out. Here's what I want to share with you today. the dwelling place of the heavenly host, which seemed to be very near to Mary. Mary's standing on the ground. She's in Nazareth. I mean, that's just up the road from Demet. So she's there. She didn't get caught up the third heaven or anything. Gabriel standing right there with her. But she recognized him. She knew he was from God. And he delivers a message that's been laid up in the spiritual realm now for a long time. Do you realize that there's a lot going on around you right now that you can't even see? You know, one of the reasons we can't see it is because we've been trapped by theories, make-believe ideas, almost becomes mythology as opposed to reality. Now, if we're celebrating this season because Christ was born, the only way you'd actually know that for sure is you'd have to be born again. Otherwise, you just got to believe what somebody else tells you. Therein lies the problem. For how many generations have we simply believed what somebody else told us, and we agreed to believe it so that we'd be okay? That's not a plumb crazy theory, is it? But the reality is, God told his prophet, this is going to happen. Then, God sends his number one guy, Gabriel, says, hey, go down there to that little teenage girl and tell her we're going to get her pregnant. So he does. He believes him. Let me ask you something. If we went out all this trouble we go through for a week or two here because we believe Jesus was born, will we not believe in the prophetic word too? Is that not part of the story? Would we not believe in angels appearing to people who were designated by God to do certain things? Would we not believe that? Two, did this change? After Jesus came, is there no longer a voice from God that speaks to men about the events of the day, the directives of our lives? Is there not angels? Where's the angels? You see, that veil that's been knitted called Western culture Christianity said, they're up there, wherever up there is. Gabriel was standing right there. Where's the angels? And so then you go over here to verse 39. This is a cool story. Elizabeth's already pregnant, but now she did that with Zechariah. Her husband. But it was all predicted. Angel showed up, talked to him, mouth went shut, read the story. But here's the cool thing in verse 41, and it happened when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary, that babe leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. John the Baptist was filled with the Holy Ghost at birth, prior to birth, but he was born full of the Spirit. Jesus Christ was born of the Spirit and full of the Holy Spirit. So both of them understood. Then you get right over here to, let's see, it may be over in Matthew where I find that one. First thing John says, we'll look at it here in a second. First thing that John says when he's making a way for the Lord: repent, for the kingdom of God is near. First thing he says, repent, for the kingdom of God is near. Do you know how John the Baptist knew that the kingdom of God was near? They didn't have television church back then. They didn't have Facebook where you could share ideas and pray for each other. How in the world would he know the kingdom of God was near? Because he was full of the Holy Ghost. Kingdom of God dwelt within him because he had entered in. Full of the Holy Spirit from birth. And so, we see all this going on, and you get over here in chapter 2, then in verse 1 it said, it came to pass in those days they had to go to Jerusalem to be registered, and Joseph went, and he took his wife, and they were there waiting on her to deliver. Verse 7 said, and she brought forth her firstborn son, wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. There's a lot that can go along with that story right there, but how many of you have been raised with that verse being pretty much the story? That's the story. He's a baby in a manger, wrapped in swaddling clothes, and they wouldn't let him in where the heater was. Yeah. Well, if you'll study through all of this, that's just the beginning of the rejection of Jesus. Nobody's ever wanted the Son of God. We're really good pretenders. No, even when they acted like they did want him one time, it only took 7 days for him to call Barabbas off the stage and crucify the Son of God and the Son of Man. They rejected Jesus the whole time. We do it all the time. When you won't accept Jesus in the fullness of who he is, the fullness, every aspect of what the Bible says about the Holy Spirit and how God will fill you and overwhelm you and make his presence known and to dwell in this kingdom of God, if that's been veiled by somebody's teaching, thinking, or the hand-me-down myths or whatever it is, then we've been cheated out of it. Then we're just going to sit around and think how cute it is that a baby was born and they wrapped him in some towels and laid him in an old concrete basin there and called it a manger. And, wow, that makes for a good story and makes for a couple good songs. And truth of the matter is, that night, there was a king that came. It would be your king. It would be your father. The owner of the universe laid in that manger. The owner of everything. The one who can bless and the one who can pass judgment. He's the one that's laying there. And so then, verse 8, now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood with them. Here we got this angel thing going on again. This whole Christmas story has been announced by heaven and rejected by man. You want to know what the Christmas story is? A proclamation from heaven that actually happened. And rejection by men. But when the angels show up, people seem to listen. These guys jump up from what they're doing and take off. Same thing happens when you get over here in the book of Matthew. Turn over in chapter 1 here for just a second, then 2. In chapter 2, it talks about the wise men. Jesus born in Bethlehem and then King Herod. They said, we want to see who this one is who's born King of the Jews. Who knew he was King of the Jews? Who in this earth had lived long enough from the days of Isaiah to pinpoint that this is the King of the Jews? Who is still standing in Jerusalem and Nazareth and Galilee and all these different places? Who is standing there that Isaiah spoke to all this time back and they recalled, or they had notes, or their grandfather gave them notes, said there's going to be a child born, there's going to be a virgin birth here, and he's the counselor, he's the prince, he's the king. Nobody knew it. Mary knew it. Now maybe Elizabeth, maybe. I think she's got her own stuff going on. John knew it. Who knew that Herod had a competitor? Who is this one who's the king of the Jews? If we don't want Jesus to be our king, the next move is to reject him. And Herod sets out to kill every male child 2 years old or younger. Because of direction of angels and visions and dreams, these wise men take another way home. And Joseph is told to move to Egypt to save Jesus' life. All these directives are coming from the heavenly realm. That's the part that we've got to get to. That's the exposure of the kingdom of God. And I think we've done a really good job of playing hide and seek. But when you read this story with the glasses from heaven, from the throne room of grace, they've been planning this party for a long time. You can just see them up there at the team meeting. Now, Gabriel, you go here, and what's your name? You go over here, and a couple of you go over here. This is what you got to tell them. Kind of intervene. They'll get up and do what you say. But heaven announced that he was the king. Heaven announced. Throne room of God, where our Father dwells, the Creator, the owner of the universe, in the fullness of the Holy Spirit, has announced that he is the king. My point in all that is tonight, have you heard that announcement from somebody besides me? Has there been a voice from heaven let you know that there's a king and he can't be destroyed? Herod couldn't even pull it off. No. Even at his greatest rejection, where they said, give us Barabbas and crucify him, he still got up. You couldn't hold him down. He got up. That's that same little baby that was laying in a bucket. And he rose to be the king, and he rose to fill the universe. There's plenty of room in this universe for the presence of God. We just have to look at ourselves and see if we've made a little room. What part do we lay down? So these wise men, they go through all this, and they slaughter all these innocent babies. Then you get over here to chapter 3. In those days, John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness of Judea, saying, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. So just kind of grazing over this right quick. One of the neat things that God did in this story was he made for himself a family. Not knocking anybody's business, not picking on anybody that didn't go down this road. It's one thing to be husband and wife, it's another thing to bring forth a child and become a family. God made a family. And he made a way for all of us to be part of that family. Come into the lineage of Jesus by simply allowing him to be Lord of our life and receiving the fullness of the Holy Spirit and dwelling with God as he dwells with us. All the things we've talked about around here for a long time. My sheep hear me. They know my voice and they follow me. The presence of angels. You know, that's one of the best things that ever happened for me was when I went to North Dakota in September. And I was able to see angels that had been stationed in one spot for 100 years. Isn't that cool stuff? You know, the angels don't get old. You won't either when you get there. No, the old part's just this tent. Creates bald spots for those of you watching on the camera.
Yeah.
But no, we don't age.
Well, that concludes this segment in our message. Come join us 7:30 Wednesday nights at 710 East American Boulevard in Muleshoe, Texas. We're on the web, www.muleshoefellowship.org. We're on YouTube as Muleshoe Fellowship. And for Steve and everyone at Muleshoe Fellowship, God bless.